Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
You can watch us on Twitch.tv or download the Twitch app. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. That's the key. New way to listen, watch, and interact with the fellow fans and us as well. It's all brought to you by Emils and Mundelein and Miller Lite. Still no score.
No.
About halfway through the first period. Between the Hawks and Vegas. We'll keep you posted on that. Jesse, back in the day, remember, covered the Blackhawks.
Yes, he did.
And now he's Robin on the baseball beat as the crime fighter.
Do you remember how much, how many stories he was selling us on the greatness of the Cincinnati Reds this year? I wonder if he wants a do-over on that prediction.
Well, let's ask him. Jesse Rogers joins us on the Corona Hotline. Jesse!
Hell, I want a do-over on the Cubs prediction. I mean, I didn't think they'd be this good, and I didn't think the Reds would be that bad. So I'm 0 for 2, Tommy, and I am okay to admit it.
Waddle declared the Cubs a playoff team, that they've clinched a playoff spot. Do you agree? Would you go that far?
Yes, absolutely. I think Fangraphs has them at like 97% after last night. So 15 games in, it sounds crazy, but when you consider up to three teams in the division are going to make it, the Cardinals are a mess. Yes, I would absolutely consider them a near lock. But that leads me to something I was going to tell you at the end. You know, I watched Craig Counsell on his pregame Zoom today, and he said something real interesting because the standings came up. All right, the Brewers are what, like five and a half games behind the Cubs, right? And he's asked about that. I mean, think about it. Is it early? Is it late? You know, it's hard to judge. But I thought he said something interesting. He slipped something in there. He's like, first of all, I don't think of it as a 60-game season. The calendar is the same as it would have been if we started in April.
Right.
The point being, it's August 15th. We're 5.5 behind. Just think of it as if we played 145 games or 15. It doesn't matter. We're August 15th, 5.5 behind. But then he said, just like it's been the last couple seasons, reminding everybody, including his team, I'm sure, how good they were in September of 18 to overtake the Cubs. How good they were in September of 19 without Yelich to make the wild card. So I feel like he's thinking it's the same thing. We're sort of treading water right now, but our best is yet to come. So I think it's real interesting to know, to find out, is Milwaukee really a September team, or is this really going to be May for them come this September? I don't know. Milwaukee doesn't look good on paper. They didn't look great last year on paper, and they made the wild card.
I think also, Jess, teams are looking, they're just, at this point, I think most teams are looking at just trying to get in because they know that anything is possible between now and the end of the regular season. As long as they get one of these spots to get into the tournament, they're going to be fine. They don't need to win the Central.
Don't need home field advantage.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that was the next thing that was said by counsel on that Zoom. The difference is this year, second place automatically gets in, and maybe even third place will get in, depending on the wild card. So you're exactly right. And think about no home field advantage, whether you're actually playing stadium or not, really, there's not much. And there's a good chance we're going to be in bubble situations, either a couple neutral sites or one bubble city. So all of that isn't going to matter other than, okay, the better record's going to be the home team wherever they play, a slight advantage. But we go back, no man on second extra inning, so it's really not that big of a deal. So, yeah, it looks like the Cubs are probably going to get in, whether it's first or second place. I mean, here's the thing about the Cubs right now, guys. It's amazing. We do these Zooms with the players and Ross every day. There is nothing left to ask. I mean, usually there's something about a team you need to dig deep on, right? We've done the Kimbrel digging. All right, lately,
all right, hold on, Jesse. Yep. I want to have a doubt. I heard this having an issue. I don't know if Jesse gets so animated with his phone that it clicks out or if there's something wrong with it. This happened on Cap Show the other day.
I think it's Craig Counsell calling him. To he wants that. It's like call waiting.
Yeah, yeah. But I understand his point that they've handled the Kimbrel story. Probably Quintana's the other piece that comes up. Like, hey, where is Quintana? Where's he gonna? Where's he health wise? And what role is he going to play?
Yeah.
But right now it's just hey, enjoy.
I think the Q question is a good one. I think Jesse rejoins us now. What do the Cubs have in mind for Quintana when he's able to go?
To be determined. I don't think they know exactly. They are going to let this thing play out until the very moment they need to make a decision. Ross was asked about him today, about whether he's talked to him about going to the bullpen, whether Ross was telling us the truth or not. He said, I haven't even thought about it yet. Can't be right. But he certainly, I'm sure he hasn't addressed it with Q yet. I mean, you wait until the guy's ready, and then you make a decision. First, of course, you talk to him, and then you reveal it publicly. So you're right. There is a decision to be made on Q, still working on Kimbrel. But other than that, it's about Anthony Rizzo wearing these chains. It's about how much fun they're having. There is nothing left to ask David Ross. It's been really strange.
Wrong
yeah.
goal.
But wrong that's, team.
Yeah, that's it, team. It was Vegas
oh.
who scored. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the horn's good for a goal. I mean, it's not who.
We should play like a bike horn.
You
when
can
it's,
light that $20 bill I Vegas. Gave you on fire in there.
It's 1-0 Vegas right through the five hole of Corey Crawford. 9:16 remaining in the first period. And the Hawks have had a lot of pressure so far.
Yeah, they have.
But they have not put a lot of good shots on net.
Your hockey talk on my way in, on my drive in, was amazing.
Kept you on the edge of your seat, didn't it, Jess?
I love the Patrick Kane big game at 4:30 as opposed to 9:30. Yeah. I loved it.
Well, it's the ice, Jess. I'm the only one in town that was talking about the surface and how the surface was going to be affected at 9:30 with three games being played in the summertime.
The combination of just breaking down the game and how to bet.
Yeah,
radio. I'm not
the
even kidding.
What's wrong with your phone?
What are you doing over there?
Phone?
You never know what Jesse's doing over there.
I'm on a headset on our little Comrex unit. Is it cutting in and out?
Yes, you need like a new headset then, because I heard this issue the other day.
Right. Well, I can pull out the headset and just talk. But I've been at Wrigley.
It's like you're the Cardinals. Jesse, you're the Cardinals.
Try this.
Stop it. What are you doing?
Is this better?
Maybe you're worse.
Is this better?
Yes.
Yeah,
is this better?
Yes.
Okay. I pulled off the headset.
Good.
I pulled off the headset.
Nothing like a professional radio, the headset providing less.
Can I get fries with that shake? Oh, no, you took your headset off. Sorry, Jess.
So by the way, I've been quarantined out of the press box here. Myself and Paul Sullivan, because we spent 24 long hours in Missouri, in St. Louis, we're not allowed back in the press box for, I don't know, maybe 14 days. I'm not even sure. So I'm gonna sit in the stands, which is not a punishment really, but it's just kind of funny. Like 24 hours in Missouri, and maybe who knows what diseases I have after that. I don't know, but
hopefully none.
You know, yeah.
What were you doing?
I mean, nothing. Thank God. There's nothing to do, right? That's what Chris Bryant says about St. Louis.
Speaking
of the Cardinals.
Yeah. I want to find what can you tell us about the Cardinals? Is tomorrow canceled or postponed against the White Sox? And if you're the White Sox, would you even want to play the Cardinals right now?
Yeah, the next team that plays the Cardinals is definitely going to be a little nervous. I'm not sure they're going to have a choice, though. Yes, tomorrow's definitely postponed. Everything is on hold. Here's the quote I got, which sounds a little ominous. This is from up top in St. Louis. We're waiting on pieces of information before we can proceed. So that doesn't sound great. But if plans are in place to postpone tomorrow, play the doubleheader Saturday. I heard about the drive-in. You know, I know a Buster tweeted it, them driving up here. And I know it sounds a little scary. Why are they driving? Why can't they fly if they are safe? But this is what I heard about the Cardinals a week ago. They are going to do nothing together as a team, even when back healthy. There's going to be very little batting practice or infield. Guys not in the starting lineup aren't going to be in the dugout. So I don't know if this is extra precaution, having everybody drive up separately, or they're forced to do it.
Early 70s A's. They're acting like the Oakland A's from back in the 70s.
Now, remember, I had that conversation with Manfred. He said, we have not seen any spread from one team to another on the field. But just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't. They've only had two teams, the Marlins and the Cardinals, to test, you know what I'm saying, to prove that. And, yeah, the Marlins did not infect the Phillies that one day, but it doesn't mean it won't happen. But I do know the next team that plays the Cardinals definitely will be nervous, and that's the White Sox. And then, of course, they play the Cubs after that. So it's completely – that season is just screwed. They are screwed even if they play. They are not going to have any fun the rest of the year, and nor should they. I guess they broke the rules. I don't know.
Jess, I would ask you the question that I asked you a couple of days ago as well and see if there's been any clarification or if anyone's leaning in that direction with regard to a minimum number of games played to actually qualify for a postseason berth.
No, still no number to that. Okay. Still no number to that. And I don't think he's going to put one on there. I really don't. Because if the Cardinals know they can't get to that number, what kind of team are they going to field? Like, and he can't announce it like the last day of the season. So I just don't think he's going to put a number on it.
What if they play 25 games?
Well, I mean, I don't know what that means. I really don't.
You can't let a team in that's played 25 games, even if their win percentage qualifies them.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, you're right, but I can't imagine they're going to make them play meaningless games. Then they're just going to fold up the tent and go home, you know? So it's tricky, I agree. I think they're hoping it's going to be much more than 25. They don't have to even answer that question.
Mm. Well, that's my whole worry, Jesse, and just going back on this, like you just said, if it's not safe enough to put them on a plane to fly to Chicago, if it's not safe enough to play tomorrow, why is it safe enough to play Saturday a doubleheader?
Because they will say that eventually you have to find a day where it's safe enough. And when we've had three negative days in a row, I don't know about what the deal is with that staffer. They have been isolated since a workout, like, what is it now, almost a week ago at this point. So that's what they'll say. Like, eventually they have to be cleared, and we're going to go with 3 or 4 days of negative tests in a row as their answer to that question. Eventually, we have to play again, and we're choosing Saturday because they tested negative Tuesday through Friday. Is that
still
a good
one? Still not the Hawks.
No, that's still not the Hawks. That's a bad one, Jess. 2-0 Knights. It's
2-0.
That was a good run. It was a good run.
Boy, oh boy. 2-0. Was that a bad goal? Let me look at this here.
It went right under his arm.
He should have stopped it. Yeah. He should have stopped it. Crawford should have stopped that one, too. So it's 2-0 Golden Knights. We're still in the first period.
It's a fight at the stick rack on the Golden Knights bench right now. Everyone wants a shot.
Yeah. 4:25 left in period number one.
I just need a Kaner goal, Jess. That's all I need to get some of my money back.
Yeah.
I know. I'm rooting for that at least for you. You said it. Maybe he'll score in the lose 5-3.
You brought up about a KB. So KB is okay? Is that?
As far as I know, I mean, you know, we didn't talk to him before the game. He sounded okay last night. But I knew, you know, when you roll a wrist, that's a problem in baseball, you know, because you just that's going to hurt when you take your next batting practice session. So I'm not sure if he was scratched before he hit today or not, but it didn't sound serious. It didn't sound serious, but you can't take a chance with a wrist because you could obviously be out a long time if you cause further damage. Now, they're 12-3. They're rolling. There's no reason to take any chances at all. I mean, this team has played way above anything I thought they could do early in the season. I thought they'd have starting pitching problems. I didn't think they'd have enough hitters for the DH. They have just completely turned the narrative over, and their bullpen is actually pitching better now than a week ago. Maybe not Kimbrel so much, but a lot of other guys. It's starting to look really good on the field. Rizzo talked about, you know, this last dance sort of feeling with this team and the bond that they've had and just coming together. I think Ross has turned out to be the perfect manager, as we've talked about, especially for this pandemic, to have that pre-existing relationship with the players, I think was huge. Everything that what you could hope for in the offseason, like, could the lineup finally mature? Does Lester still have it? Like, it's coming together. Like, anything you were questioning is coming together other than maybe Craig Kimbrel. That's about it.
Are you surprised, Jess, when you look across everybody's kind of all their statistical lines, it just seems like everyone's contributing. Ian Happ's got, like, the highest batting average of the guys that are playing consistently. Bodhi is contributing. It's like the guys, Kipnis has been fantastic. The guys in the bottom half of the order are the ones that I think have delivered most regularly.
Yeah, Brian and Rizzo don't have the best numbers. Rizzo did homer yesterday. How about Jason Hayward? Yeah. He's looked great at the plate after a little bit of a slow start. Yeah, Brian said it yesterday. I couldn't believe it. They won a World Series mostly with this lineup. Now, they didn't have the DH full-time, but he said, I can't remember 1 through 9 being this good. Now, maybe he had a short memory, but that's saying something about this team. And you have to give David Ross a lot of credit. It's just, you know, the little things that a new manager can do, especially one that has the respect. I said this to you guys in the offseason, and think about it. Dusty Baker, first year, makes the playoffs. Lou Piniella, first year, makes the playoffs. Joe Maddon, first year, makes the playoffs. We're headed that way with David Ross. If you have respect walking in the door, you can have their attention that first couple years. We saw it with Maddon, and then it waned. We're seeing it back here with David Ross. And, you know, I can't tell you exactly why David Bodie's having a better year than last year. Now, Ian Happ went down to the minors, so that makes sense. He worked on some things. But you know what I'm getting at. It's just the little things a new manager with respect can bring out of players, and we're seeing it across the board.
I just like they keep the line moving, Jesse. Too often last year and the year before, they would be up 2-0, and it would stay on 2 forever. Right now, they'll get a 1-0 lead, and then in the fifth, they'll make it 2-0, then they'll add on and make it 3, and then, like, that's how they're getting to 7. They're not scoring, like, 5 in the first and just sitting and being fat and happy. I like the way they're just continuing to add on. I hope that continues, but it looks great so far.
And the reason they're doing it is they're getting to the middle of the bullpens on these teams. 89 pitches from Carrasco in 4 innings. Now, that's a really good pitcher. 89 in 4 innings. They just grinded him out of the game after 4 1/3. And you're right, they're adding on, which is taking pressure off of the bullpen, especially Kimbrel when he comes in with the big lead. So it's just working to perfection right now. Now, Tommy, last week you brought up the competition.
Yeah.
Did you realize the Indians were the first club they played above 500?
I have them collectively right now, Jess. The teams they've played are 36 and 52. And again, that's partially because the Cubs they're putting it on all of these teams. But yes, that's why I said, Jess, I guarantee you the Cubs get to the postseason, but I'm not willing to tell you they're one of the best two or three teams in baseball.
Yeah, a couple good tests coming up. Well, first of all, the White Sox next weekend. I'm talking about on the mound for the Cubs. Like, even the Indians, yeah, they're good, but they can't hit. The White Sox can hit. Like to see how the starters do against them. And then the Twins, of course, are the one other team in this whole Central Division thing that can really hit. So I thought the Reds were one of them, and they'll play the Reds a bunch more, but Cincinnati's just, they're getting killed today. I don't know what's going on with them. Maybe they read their headlines from ESPN.com all winter, because I picked them to win everything over the winter.
It's the Lance McAllister Show on ESPN 1000. all right, Jesse. Thank you.
Thanks, all right, guys.
There you go, Jesse at Wrigley, and he got better after. You got to dump that headset, because that was no good.
Yeah,
so he mentioned the White Sox can hit, and so can Aloy. Aloy can really hit, but he's proven that he can't field.
Oh,
and I think the White Sox announcers know that, too. You'll hear that coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, let's see if we can get to a couple of things here. Then Markey will break down this bad first period by the Hawks. It's 2-0. Golden Knights, and our guy Patrick Kane just hit the post, Waddle.
Yes, he did.
Not going well. All right, so I want to play you for Eloy yesterday going into the stands again. I'm calling him Spider-Man because he's always in the web. And Benetti and Stoney did not hold back. And then I've got some interesting Zach Plesac sound. Take a listen to the sound from NBC Sports Chicago yesterday afternoon.
Foul ball left side. Eloy over there, and he ends up in the net again.
Yeah, that's one of the things that he might want to take out of the equation. Try to get the ball. If you can't, try to stay on your feet. I know it's a good effort, and he's been fortunate. That's the third time he's gone into the net, and he's feeling the effects of it. So let's hope that he's okay. And, not good. Even though the net did save him, you got to figure you get one of the armrests in the back.
At least it looks more like a hammock this time. That's just got to come out of his game.
No, it absolutely.
He just can't be doing that.
No,
knows it.
He's too important to this team. I mean, number one, too important just as a hitter. And number two, too important to make a DH this young.
I thought that was great.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't hold back. And a lot of times the local announcers, not our local announcers, but for a team, won't want to address it. They'll say, well, he's working hard. Well, he's trying to get his bearings. Like Benetti and Stoney yesterday said, this can't happen anymore.
He's going to get hurt.
Yes, he's too valuable.
Yeah. I mean, listen, being better at certain things where you're deficient, and a lot of instances it's about working hard and taking it seriously and not taking it for granted. So maybe he just does not have the defensive prowess that will be necessary to keep him in left field consistently. Because if this continues to go on for I don't know how much longer, you've got to you have to think about just making him a full-time DH.
Because the back can't be out of the lineup.
Right.
And you can't get him hurt, yeah.
And you've got too many guys that needed bats to actually have him as a DH, right? Then you're going to have to just put someone, one of those guys in left.
Yes, yes. I also have Abdallah informed me. Abdallah, how do you explain this, and how long ago did he post
this? He isn't happy about it. Abdallah isn't.
And we haven't heard it yet. So he sold it to me like it's pretty unbelievable here.
So Zach Plesac posted this earlier today. It's on his Instagram. It's not a story. It's like a full 6.5 minute long video. And he basically, he says in the caption, like, don't get me wrong, COVID is real. We just need to learn how to manage it properly and safely. And so he's doing the listen. I know this is real. However, and he goes into this whole 6.5 minute thing and about how the media and they exacerbated this story about him going out with his friends.
And remember, his own teammates have gone after him and Clevinger for being dishonest. So let's get a sample of this. And if you don't know the story, Zach Plesac's been pitching great for the Cleveland Indian. He's from the area. He's Dan Plesac's nephew.
He's also, for context of this in the video, he's driving around while he's driving, filming himself.
Is he in Cleveland?
And I can't tell where he's driving around. He's driving himself, and he's filming himself while he's driving, also not wearing a seatbelt, just for context's sake.
Really?
Just in case you needed more context as to who this is speaking, this is how he's filming it.
So he pitched well against the White Sox for a win the other day, really well. And then he went out, and I think they went to, like, just a house to have dinner. It wasn't like some rowdy bar, but still, it's against the protocols, and they did not alert the Indians about it, and they sent him on his way that he had to rent a car back, and he's been in quarantine. And Clevinger didn't even get caught, and he didn't tell them that he was with him. So this is Zach Plesac on his Instagram.
What's up, guys? Happy Thursday. I want to get on here and clear the air on some stuff, kind of voice my opinion, voice some raw emotion to you guys, and get out the truth so that you guys can kind of understand what's happening so we can all be on the same page, because the media really is terrible, man. The media is terrible, and they do some evil things to create stories and to make things sound better, makes things sound worse. And truthfully, I'm disgusted the way the media has handled this whole situation surrounding our team. And this is why, based on my feelings, I want to get on here and express the truth to you guys, and moving forward, kind of the learning experience and maybe some things taken away from this whole experience. But yeah, out in Chicago, we played the White Sox in a day or a couple days prior to leaving for this trip. The MLB came up with these new protocols that required a curfew and some other things that would keep us more isolated as baseball players and contain us more in like a bubble type sense. And after my start, I went out to dinner with some buddies. We ended up going back to his place, same group that we went to dinner with, and we opened up baseball cards, picked our top two dudes from each pack, we're throwing bets down, you know, just having a good time, hanging out. We broke curfew, I came back late, and I was reported by MLB security being out in public and coming back late to curfew, and the president of baseball operations decided to quarantine me for 3 days so that just in case, you know, if I was exposed to COVID, then it wouldn't spread to the rest of the team. And it was a great decision on his part, so I did my time. I rode in a car service back to Cleveland, and I've quarantined for 3 days. And I've had to take these nasal swabs, both negative. And I asked the doctor, you know, today, first off, what is a safe environment for us to be in? You know, because things are inevitable. You're going to see people. You're going to socially interact based on, you can't sit in a room all day is the truth of the matter. So you, I wanted to know how we can be safe and moving forward, how I can basically make sure no one else gets put at risk, who are at high risk and danger. And I asked him, what is the CDC like protocol? Like how many people is considered a safe gathering? He wasn't sure. He said it just changed like state to state. And I said, okay, what is Ohio's protocol?
Abdallah, do you want to stop it there? Because I want to get Gene Greco in here, too. I mean, is there some more juicy stuff at the back end? I heard the, like, now he's just going through the CDC.
Basically, he said that he looked at it himself, and it said that the CDC said that 10 people is okay. And while they were at dinner, mind you, he was out and at a restaurant at dinner, even though that's what he told us that he did not do, said that there we were with no more than 10 people. We had 8 people with us, not 10 people.
That doesn't, I mean, like the Major League Baseball rules supersede the CDC.
Yeah.
And period, end of story. You're an employee.
He basically goes on to say, you know, we don't know, you know, this is changing every day and we should go by these rules. And like basically baseball is wrong.
This is the example of if you did not, whether you felt you were high risk or you did not want to have to abide by these rules, you could have opted out, right?
Right, and instead of being accountable, he's blaming others, is what he was doing there.
Sylvie's just backtracking, tap dancing, obviously, and he just said, you can't stay in your room all day. No, yes, that's what you have to do. That's what you're supposed to do. You're a traveling Major League Baseball player. And as Tommy just said, you could have opted out.
Yeah.
I want to know what Uncle Dan is saying about this. You got to kick his butt. This is ridiculous.
He's such a good pitcher, too.
Yeah.
And like, if the Indians are going to make any noise at all, they need him.
Well, he's, you know, once again, you're dealing with young guys who still don't get it in every sport. So.
And it's not just young, though, with this. But this is a good reflection, Mark, of the society I'm dealing with this, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well,
you think students, when they go back to college in their college environments, are going to follow through?
No.
Oh, my God.
Not. That's why. That's why a lot of college teams don't want to play.
That's why some comedian said, you know, college campuses, it's just a country club for drugs and sex. Well, it's going to be even crazier now. I saw where my alma mater is reopening, and they're going to have people on campus and students.
You know, you used to have co-ed dorms. Now you have COVID dorms.
Hey, there it is. Oh. Yeah.
All right, Marky, I want to hear about your time out together yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I want you to break down our first period, which was awful in game two. The Blackhawks trail Vegas 2-0.
I absolutely will, and I will apologize to Tommy for yesterday as well.
All right. So all that coming up next with Marky.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Cap and Company, weekdays 9 to noon. On Tuesdays, he gets some company from Anthony Rizzo. Brought to you by Templeton Rye Whiskey.
Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. Every day, we're highlighting one of the best sports bars in the Chicagoland area. Today, we salute Patty Mac's Bar and Grill on Pulaski. Stop in and enjoy Patty Mac's outdoor patio, full menu, and $4 ice-cold Sam Adams. All COVID precautions are being taken seriously, so you can enjoy your time at Patty Mac's. And right now, you can text Sam Adams at 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Sam Adams and Patty Max helping you celebrate the return of sports.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Marky's in the First Midwest Bank studio. Mark Gene Greco, ABC 7, brought to you by our great friends at Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle in the River.
I got to go down there Monday. My second daughter turns 25 on Sunday, and She decided where she wants to celebrate her dinner was Chicago Cubs.
Of course. So no other place.
I got to call David and Maddie.
Sylvie, let me explain yesterday this way, okay?
Yeah, I want to hear this.
I heard Tommy doing crosstalk earlier on my way in, but we were IOA. We were injured, old, and awful.
Yeah, we were. We were bad.
Tommy's shoulder's hanging out of the socket, and my right arm looks like a dead tree limb.
And, you know, I think we both kind of gave up after a very difficult opening nine, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We didn't keep score for the last six holes.
That's what I was saying. I don't think we used a pencil.
And I think I infected Tommy. I think I played so poorly that made him play poorly because I've had a lot of really bad rounds. That's the worst round I've ever played.
Me too.
It was like an out-of-body experience, or someone was in my body. Remember the movie Men in Black?
Yes.
Again, the giant alien insect came down and got in the body of the farmer driving the pest control truck. He's just like, rah, rah, rah.
That was you?
He's just like waving all over the place.
We had a good time.
Oh, we had a blast.
Who was in the, that was more than just you two from the radio station, right?
Yeah, we had Cap and we had Carmen and we had bunch of other guys. We had
did PB play too?
Yes, we had Pat Boyle.
Pat Boyle played.
It was great.
It was just 2-4.
And Carmen won the day.
He did. He played solid.
Yeah.
89 was the best score. I mean, tough course, but I got to tell you, when I went home, not only did I ice my shoulder, I had to ice my self-esteem because I was so down on myself. And immediately I said to my wife, we're calling the doctor tomorrow. I'm getting in the MRI tube.
I almost followed you home because you said you were going to drown yourself in your pool.
Said when I got home, I was going to I was going to tie a dumbbell to my leg and jump in the pool.
In the meantime, in the meantime, I threw my clubs out on the expressway.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it was that bad.
That's how bad it was.
Yeah. If you're competitive all in life, it doesn't matter. Even if you're just playing a good round of golf or a friendly game of golf. You want to be at your best.
Yeah,
those are the rounds of golf that forced me to
throw your clubs away.
Yes,
no doubt.
Right.
And Sylvia did get to the point where I was like, I just want to hit one good shot. Please, can I make contact?
The one that keeps you coming back, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was just awful. Almost as awful as the Hawks.
Yeah, they just blew another power play, didn't they?
Yeah,
in the second period.
It's over.
We were just talking about that. But here it is. Early on, Crow's trying to make up for a bad opening performance. Two softy goals, you know, if you will. But they're just bigger, stronger, and faster. They're deep in the zone. They're swarming Crow. Paul Stastny, a scorer, a sniper. He's standing out front all by himself in the slot. There's the first goal. Tomas Nosek, who's taking the place of Max Pacioretty,
who's out,
doesn't make any difference. They don't miss a beat. He scores the second goal. Then they have a power play, and it looks like they have all kind of room up top to rip off a few one-timers from the point. And that PK just comes right out like an umbrella and crushes them. It's a physical thing and it's a talent thing. That's what divides these two teams.
I mean, the control of the puck. I mean, I don't know what the stats were from the first game, but it felt like the puck was on the stick of a Golden Knights player 90% of the time.
And you know, one of the differences is this fourth line of big bangers has really intimidated the Hawks, and you'll get a goal out of them every once in a while. So, you know, talking with PB yesterday, he doesn't think they're going to win a game the entire series, and you can almost see
that. He picked them in seven with us, though.
Did he?
Well, I think so.
Well, after a few drinks, I think he...
I think what he was saying was there's a chance that if they don't find their way, that this series could be over.
Okay, that's a good idea.
I think that's the way he would... Okay. Listen, I mean, you tell me, are the majority of their issues in front of the goalie? I mean, like, with defensively, they can't play with these guys.
Well, Crawford yesterday, he was looking right at a shot coming at him. He was not screened and missed it with his glove.
Yeah.
And then the other one popped over,
right over
him
shoulder.
After he deflected it. So here, he's just not getting any support in this game right now. So it's twofold. He is not on his game. And we were amazed at how well he played in the qualifying round, having done nothing and having been sick. So it's the ebb and flow. What I love is four hockey games every day. I give it a morning. I'm watching game one with a cup of coffee. I come in here, I'm watching a game in the afternoon, and for the 10 o'clock show, I'm watching another game, and I get to see the third period of the final game of the day when I get home. So
let me ask you this question about the bigger, faster, stronger comment, because I've heard Carmen say that too, because there's no doubt that the Golden Knights are more talented.
Yep.
How did we get here? How did an expansion team that assembled its first team get to the Stanley Cup final?
Because
and a team like that Bowman is running is not nearly as talented.
Sorry about that. Because, first of all, they changed the expansion draft rules, which allowed expansion teams like the Knights to gather great players because you're only allowed to protect nine. And so
don't you remember also in football, like the Jags got to the AFC title game in the second or third year.
Mm-hmm. So, that's,
so it happens.
That's one of the reasons. The other reason is, you know, the Hawks drafting thing, aside from Kirby Dock, you got little talented, you know, guys who, you know, can skate pretty well. But you really don't have an...
Here we go!
Doctor Kaner.
What did I just say? On cue, looked like Kirby Dock.
Yeah.
But is that who it was, Doc?
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay.
I want it to be Kaner.
2-1 Golden Knights right now.
All right, despite all their negative comments, this game is still on.
Well, we got ourselves a game.
You should want it to be Kaner because he's not scoring at all.
We have a bet on Kaner. We all have money down that Kane scores tonight.
Kaner.
Okay. Yeah, see, they got some traffic out front. Yeah. He tucked it in from the side. So
another rebound, which they only got like three or four of in game one.
Yeah, the other had the wide open net.
The other thing you have to watch, Robin Lehner, who lost his skate blade twice in game one, he got dinged by Alex DeBrincat's shot from a weird angle in the arm and the glove hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he was in pain. So keep an eye on him, but I don't know.
They're coming back, Mark. They're coming back.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It'll be 3-1 before I get off.
Stop it. Come on.
That's not very nice.
I'm sorry. God,
yeah, you just killed you killed the conversation.
Wow. I'm here to be Mr. Buzzkill.
Okay.
All right, 312-332-3776 if you want to talk to Marky. And we will continue the fun, all brought to you by Chicago Cod, coming up next.
You are listening to Waddle and Silva.
MicroCloud One, the world's leading security services platform for cloud builders. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more info.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Mark Jean Greco joins us today for a rare Thursday appearance brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. I sent this to Waddle earlier this morning, Marky. I don't know if you saw it. I believe it was from the football coach at UMass. And his quote was, the money quote is, about getting the season canceled. I'll tell you guys the same thing I told my players. You know, my dad passed away in 2008. My biological mom OD'd in 2012.
Oh, no.
And to be honest with you, this is probably a tougher day than both of those days.
What?
That's a ball coach.
Yeah.
That's a ball coach.
Exactly. Wow. And UMass, I mean, they're not a Power 5 school.
No.
And it's just, it's not about the
they're
money
the
there.
Aren't
they're
they?
An independent.
Yeah. Yes, they're an independent. They are.
You guys want some baseball news?
Yeah.
So Ken Rosenthal, the game, the Cubs game is on Fox tonight. So Ken Rosenthal is on Fox tonight, and he just said the league is working with the union on setting full Cardinals schedule. The players want additional doubleheaders to create off days. The league believes St. Louis could still get close to 60 games and maybe even to 60 by making up doubleheaders if necessary day after the season ends.
No, we don't want that.
They've had all this time off. You want more days off?
No, I'm just saying, like, and at that point, do they get, I mean, where is the competitive, is there a competitive edge or an imbalance in the competitive nature of it if they're only playing seven-inning games the majority of their games?
Right, and once again, Adam, this is Major League Baseball. Knee-jerk reaction rather than being out in front of this in the beginning like, okay, what if this happens? We need a plan B in place. No, they're just going along reacting. Knee-jerk reactions rather than being proactive.
But you knew that there was going to be some of this, and they were going to be presented with things that even they couldn't really think of, right?
Well, you could have thought of that.
That there was going to be a team with five games played, you know, while everyone else has played
with
13 or 14?
What is it, 18 infected?
Yeah.
You know what confuses me, Mark, is they're postponing tomorrow's game against the White Sox.
Right.
And they're why? And why, if they're postponing tomorrow, is it safe enough to play the White Sox in a doubleheader on Saturday?
Exactly.
Why isn't it safe enough to get them on a plane to go to Chicago?
I agree, but apparently the excuse is we just want to make sure that the quarantine was the full period of time, whatever they designated. So they're giving it an extra day just to be safer. But, yeah, I'm saying, wait, they're supposed to be recovered by now. Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't at all.
Well, listen, I think wait till the NFL is faced with some of these issues, how they're going to have to handle all of it.
Well, hopefully they're learning from baseball's
faux
pas, because the NBA and the NHL, they know what they're doing.
Well,
obviously,
they're in a bubble.
It's two different animals with smaller
rosters. Not just that. Yeah, you got smaller rosters, fewer teams, and you're able to play inside a bubble.
Mark, I told Waddle this in crosstalk. I watched Hard Knocks last night, and it's all fun, but Sean McVay at the end of it stands up in front of his players and admits to them that he could be better after the first week of training camp with protocols. Sean McVay is prepared as much as any coach in the league. He remembers every play from his career, and in the first week, he's even saying that he could have been better with the protocols. I don't know. Like, it stressed me out watching Hard Knocks yesterday, and I don't know how they're going to do this.
I know it's very unnatural. You know, you forget your mask when you leave the office. You got to make sure you're constantly aware of social distancing. It's not a natural day-to-day thing, but by now you'd think we'd all be used to it, and especially as an NFL head coach, you've got to be so in tune to it. He also... You know, when Jared Goff said, gosh, I just want to throw it deep. You know, they weren't allowed to throw to receivers.
Yeah.
Until now. And he's like, no, because they're just throwing to running backs and coaches and keeping it short. But he's like, no, man, we can't. We got to play by the rules. And then he admits that he wasn't playing by the rules. So
I find it weird that if everyone is tested negative inside your bubble, why everyone is still hyperventilating about the contact that takes place. Because the MLS bubble, the NBA bubble, the NHL bubble, wherever you are.
Because you're not really testing in real time. You're testing if they're positive, if they're showing positive that day, right?
And yes, but that's the case for all of these sports. So I don't know why the NFL is any different than any of these.
Well, the problem is the lag time and the overlap and all that. But the NFL, look it, in hockey, you're basically completely covered from head to toe, you know? So people in the NFL will argue, similarly, we're the same.
Why, did you watch any of the MLS or the NBA?
Yeah, they're naked by comparison. But it's a truly a contact sport where there are more instances.
I don't get that. I think that's kind of a weird... If everyone is negative, I don't care if you spit on someone, you sweat on someone, you pee on someone, whatever the case is.
No, don't do that.
Whatever it is, you're not going to catch it.
No, you're not. But with that many people, you know, exerting themselves like that, somebody is going to test positive for whatever reason.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
Tommy, I see your point. It's going to come from outside wherever they are.
Right.
Because... obviously, people aren't going to abide by the strict regulations.
I'm just saying the concept of contact and it being a contact sport.
I hear
you. As long as your guys are negative, I don't care how much physical contact you have. If you're negative and he's negative, if you slobber all over each other, nobody's going to catch it because no one had it.
That's what Lovie Smith said. He said, the Champaign campus and our workout facility is the safest place to be. The Illini players who tested positive brought it from somewhere else. So I get that.
Yeah. All right, let's bring in Chris Black.
Whoa, Black is back. He's been here since like 4 in the morning.
What's up, guys?
And he's in the Midwest Bank studio. You guys are starting like a day early or 2 days early on the 6 o'clock show.
Sylvie, we call that a pop-up show. It's just a pop-up show.
That's what the kids do. We got people lined up around the block waiting for this.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be a Burger King next week.
Yeah. It doesn't officially start till Monday, but we're here tonight. So, yeah.
One of those Halloween stores.
Did you say pee on somebody? What?
I don't know. Accidentally.
Don't you remember?
Have you ever been hit so hard you peed? A little? I have.
No.
No, but you remember.
Well, I'm just saying.
Oh, really? Who hit you hard enough?
I don't know, but I mean, like, listen,
he still doesn't remember who hit him.
Ask people.
But remember, Mark Schlereth stink. He just peed his pants every game.
Yeah.
Just on purpose.
You know, more than pee.
Since I run distance, that is a running thing.
Yeah.
People who run marathons just go.
Of course.
You get in that snow, you're so psyched.
Well, NASCAR guys are in the car by themselves unless they're, you know, they have a ride along going.
Well, runners do more than that. They'll just take a dump in mid stride.
Oh, yeah.
Have you in a marathon?
Like, shaking out your pant leg?
You could, like, have you had to go in the middle of a marathon?
Yeah, I use the porta potty.
Yeah,
I don't,
they go, like, off course. Like, my daughter's done that.
Yeah,
twice.
Like the 2 minutes I spend going to the porta john is not going to affect
it's not
going to
affect your finish.
Time.
Why don't you just? My daughter's not is not competing with anyone other than herself, so if she has to pull over to the side and go to the bathroom, she's going.
Well, why don't you just wear a fanny pack?
But
of course,
I will say,
if you do mess your pants, it's going to look like a fanny pack anyway. You know,
I will say there used to be a running trick where if you didn't want to break stride, trying to go while you keep your stride, but then you try and not to go on yourself. That's a skill.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's weird. You gotta hang it.
No, my son actually perfected that. Yeah. He's a marathon triathlon guy.
It's something people try to do.
It's either you're a trotter or a pacer, depending on which way your legs go. You know.
Oh, wow.
That's true. That's for the harness racing. You're right.
Sylvie, is this a big weekend for the Cubs? Best team in baseball, but now they have the Brewers coming to town.
They're all big these days, aren't they?
I mean, that's the answer. I like that.
They're in.
Yeah. They're
in.
All big, and like,
they're in.
I thought Craig, they're in. I'm buying what you're selling today, Waddle. But here's the thing. Craig Counsell said it best. This every game is worth 2 points something.
Yep.
It was sort of, it was sold wrong. It is basically, what's the date today? August 14th?
13th.
Today's August 13th. And the Brewers are 5.5 games out. It's just like a normal August 13th.
Yeah.
That's the way they should look at it. And they have come back the last couple of years in September. So, yes, they're still big. You should not ignore the Brewers or the Reds, even though Waddle's trying to
tell
you they
suck. They're down 9-3 in the fifth.
But it's still
stop it. Stop it.
The Reds and the Cardinals are going to be kicked out next
Everybody
week.
Else is playing for second place. Even if the Cubs collapse, they're still getting in as a second
place
team.
So get ready for the virtual World Series celebration. Zoom interviews only. Can't go out to a bar. Can't go to Grant Park. There it is.
What do you guys have coming up here on the baseball show?
Well, we will talk about the Cubs until first pitch between the Cubs and the Brewers tonight. We'll talk about the White Sox as well. What's the one word you think of when you think of their start to this season? 10-9. What's that one word you think of with the Chicago White Sox?
What was it?
Swag.
Abdallah's going with
swag. I like it.
I think he thought I said bias.
Where's
the swag now?
That's what he says to Javi.
Was that swag we saw from Eloy falling into the net? That's swag. That was clumsiness.
Sylvie, you called him Spider-Man. I called him Tuna.
It's good
flopping around.
Yeah.
Or Flipper. If you try and run, try and give it a dangle and try and at the same time.
I'm not going to run a marathon. I don't like to be in the car for 26 miles.
Just go try and practice it.
I had plenty of practice back in the day peeing myself. I don't want to do it anymore.
My advice
I'll get there in like 10 years. I'll be back.
You should.